Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. We're here in the after show, uncensored, where people will swear a whole lot, but unfortunately for all of you, Andrew is a gentleman. He's not going to be swearing.
I'm a Christian man.
Yeah, but we are going to talk about the evils of these big tech companies, and I'll have some questions for you. Take a look at this story from Forbes. Facebook manipulated 689,003 users' emotions for science.
For science.
Long story short, they were sending positive and negative stories to people's feeds to see how it would affect them and affect what they would post. And that is evil. So, Mr. CEO of Gab, have you ever experimented on your users?
This is things that we don't do, no. And this is something that Sheryl Sandberg, by the way, came out and admitted. Like, yeah, we did this. Mm-hmm. And they paid, I don't think they paid any consequences for this, by the way. And this stuff is still going on. Whether they admit it or not, this stuff is still going on. They run these type of experiments all the time. They have teams dedicated to this type of stuff.
It's not only going on this basic level of controlling emotions. It's on a higher level of controlling viewpoints. Now, I remember bringing up this article, I believe last year when I was on the show, and it was another Lucasism that had to be looked up, and then we looked into it, and they're like, yeah, okay, this is actually true because it sounds absolutely fucking crazy. But I've been talking about this for a number of years, and this is what they publicly admitted to as they were doing multiple university studies with big organizations that some people say were connected to the CIA, doing these larger human experimentation on unsuspecting users that didn't submit to be puppets and to be lab rats a part of these larger experiments. So this is publicly available.
Any one of us could have been a victim of this.
I think I was, because I remember being on Facebook and just seeing gory, fucked up shit and like police officers killing people and people dying, and I was ISIS videos, and I was like, I remember feeling so disturbed and perturbed by what I saw on Facebook that it made me push away from the platform and not use it. I used to check it all the time, but then there was this one specific moment when they were saying they were doing this exercise that I remember seeing just the most awful things possible that did have an effect on me psychologically. So I wouldn't be surprised if I was one out of the many hundreds of thousands who were experimented on.
They operate, the powerful elites, the billionaires, and I'm not saying there's a grand conspiracy of coordination, but they operate under the idea that if they can erase the idea of freedom from your mind, you will be happy. It's like what Harriet Tubman said. She said, I freed many slaves. I would have freed many more if only they knew they were slaves.
You know, Yeonmi Park, who was a defector, North Korean, they call it a fucking defector. She left the country. She's an expat. She fled the fucking country. She said she didn't know what love was. North Koreans don't understand the concept of love. They're not taught it. Crazy. But they're definitely not happy. I mean, maybe they think they are. Maybe happiness is just a chemical rush you get from a tiny bit of external stimuli. And if you're totally depraved, you know, a tiny piece, a crumb of bread will give you happiness.
This crazy thing about language, just because you know, mentioning her and not having an idea of what love was. There was I explained this when I saw a person severely injured in a car accident, that there was a feeling I got that it's indescribable. There's no word for it in the English language. There may be a word in a different language.
Sure.
You ever stand on a really high point and you have a weird urge to jump, like to be close to the
there's
edge.
There's a word for that.
There's a word for it. There's a phrase for it in French, but there's no word for it.
Yeah.
There's like a specific word that represents, you know, wanting to jump from a high place. It's weird. It's weird. I don't know. Totally derailing what we were talking about.
I like
about,
it. Though. Talking about language is
what
awesome.
We were talking about something.
Well, Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Defecting and fleeing the
and
country.
Like, and making people happy. And like, okay, so if they're going to, we're talking about this. Does this violate the Nuremberg Code? You know, the second principle of the Nuremberg Code is that it's being done for the betterment, to yield fruitful results for the good of society. Now, that's questionable. Is Facebook's private data aggregate? Like, they're not giving people the answers to this data. As far as I know, they're keeping that. How's that benefiting society?
This is what I was basically saying. You know, if you look at a lot of what's happening with these big companies manipulating people, with the elites manipulating people, they're hoping that by purging your knowledge of these ideas, you can't complain about it.
But you,
if you
but
don't
like you
know
say,
the word, if you can't represent that feeling, if you can't express that feeling, the feeling may as well not exist.
And that, as you pointed out, doesn't work, because you'll still get the urge, maybe, if you're at the top of the thing. I mean, Yunmi Park wanted to leave the country. It wasn't like she...
It works to a certain degree. You'll end up with a – so let's say in 100 years they get their way. People will know something is wrong. They'll feel that pain in their hearts, and eventually that will build up and then burst and the system will collapse. What they want to do, it never works throughout history. The communists fuck it up every time. The fascists fucked it up. It doesn't work. You cannot centralize everything. It won't work. They keep trying to do it. I think you've got powerful interests like Bill Gates – who are sitting there going like, now that we have mass surveillance, we can finally pull off controlling the world, and it won't work. Mass surveillance still won't do it because people are unruly. You know, look, we have 10 chickens outside. We got 5 chickens at the other location. And you know what? They're chill. You want to go in there and you want to deal with chicken business and get their food. You get mad when they shit in their water, but there's only 10 of them. If there was 5,000, you would not be able to do it. They'd be like, oh, you'd be like, okay, I got to, you know, navigate this a different way. You wouldn't be able to just take,
right.
Goats might be a better example.
Yeah,
like 400 goats just running around. You're like, you need a dog. You need someone to help you corral this. And, you know, these elites think they can lock the system down and create their homogenized global, you know, one world system. I do not believe they'll be able to pull it off the way they're doing it. I think they're going to burn everything to the ground because they're fucking idiots.
I'm looking at this page. This is from makeuseof.com. I don't know if it's legit or not. They're talking about Facebook's social experiments that they've been doing. There's another one in 2011 where they experimented on 29 million people, where they basically were showing them ads with and without the your friend John
voted.
Yeah. And they found that you're more likely to click on an ad if you see one of your friends had liked it.
Right.
So then they started.
Oh, dude. And I had friends being like, yo, I never liked that. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah.
People would post screenshots and they'd be, and I remember I had someone, it said like, you know, John did this. And then I hit up my friend. They're like, dude, I never liked that. It's fake.
Wow.
They're lying.
Whoa.
Yeah. Totally fucked up shit, dude.
Wow. The list goes on.
Man, it's like, we are the resistance. Is that what it is? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get
resistance
crazy?
Is good. Resistance is, they call it resistance training and muscle building. You need it to gain strength. Trees resist the wind and gravity constantly. And if they didn't have wind, they would fall over.
No. The resistance is good. Like, we are rejecting the establishment, the lies, the manipulation, the attempts at control over our lives. But is it going to get worse? Are we gonna take, you know, the Republicans, will they take back the House and then everything gets better, or is that just a pipe dream?
Yeah, even if they do, if it's the wrong type of Republicans, it's just gonna be the same song and dance with a different logo on it.
We live in a fucking House of Cards.
Yeah, the Republicans are gonna win and they're gonna go, now it's time for unity in this country and civility, so we're gonna sit on our fucking hands and watch and laugh as you burn.
Right.
And then we're gonna sit there going like, why won't they do anything?
They're not. They can't. 400 people can't do jack shit. They can command a military, but it's up to the military to do what they tell
400
them.
400 Democrats are burning this country to the ground.
Right.
But the Republicans just sit in their hands and go, duh.
Right. The difference between the left and the right is the left knows how to wield power when they have it, and they don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about what law they're breaking. They will deal with that later.
Or the Republicans are just the vassal political party to the Democrats.
Yeah, just the controlled opposition, just the illusion of a different side to pacify, you know, the people that support the Republican Party.
It's a really great point that Michael Malice brought up on the show once, that the Democrats are saying we want to ban guns and the Republicans are just saying no, when the Republicans should be saying we should unban guns.
Right.
The true opposition to the Democratic Party is repeal the NFA. Instead, we get Republicans going, hey, don't ban that gun. And I'm like, yo, they already banned half of the guns.
Right.
What the fuck are you talking about? You're doing nothing.
Right.
So I don't know what the solution is in the long term. But I got to be honest. So I think we're winning.
We are.
I do. I mean, especially how you guys have been able to just push through everything. And no matter what they do, they can't knock you offline. Yeah, it makes me actually worried for your health and safety, to be honest.
You know, I'm not afraid of that. Again, the only thing I fear is God. So what will happen is what will happen. I don't fear death. I want to live. I love my family. I love my kids. I love my life, right? But, you know, they're not going to use that as an intimidation to me to prevent me from doing what I'm doing. Obviously, I'm going to take as much precaution as I can. I'm going to, you know, watch my back. I'm going to take safety measures, etc. But I'm not going to live in fear. You know, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and they can't buy me out with money. They can't scare me. They're just going to have to deal with me in some way. And, you know, it is what it is.
That's why I like decentralizing services. Because if you have the keys, then they're going to come to you, the CIA or NSA or whatever. They're going to be like, give me the keys or else. And then you're like, no. And then that's it. But if you don't have any of that and you're just building it, then they're more focused on that and what's being built and not the people that are working on it.
Right.
Dead silence. Fucking mic drop.
You made a good point, Ian.
How do you do that?
Yeah, the problem with decentralized user-generated content servers is that what you're going to end up with is a lot of illegal content and a lot of spam and a lot of bots and a lot of – it just becomes chaos. There's always going to have to be some sort of central authority that is putting some sort of moderation factor in there, especially when it comes to human beings creating things and doing things, you know, when it comes to user-generated content. There has to be something. And I think the federated model is a really decent model because it says, you know what, if you don't agree with the way Gab does things, well, then you can go over here where they ban X, Y, and Z, and you're not going to see that stuff over here. So giving people choices is not necessarily a bad thing. And, you know, having more social networks, having more platforms where people have choices to, you know, go where people are that share their values and go with, you know, a business or a platform that has the rules that they think are the best for what they want to have, right?
What do you think the future looks like?
Well, the big thing with these elites is they're pushing for transhumanism right now. That is what they're going all in on, is they want to transcend human biology, and they want to, you know, push the synchronicity one step further, and they want to become God. And, you know, we've seen this happen in history, actually. In the Bible, we have the Tower of Babel, and, you know, God put a stop to that, and I think he's going to put a stop to what they're trying to do right now. We cannot become gods. They want to become the gods, and really, essentially, whoever does it first becomes the God, right? And that's why they're all in a race to do this, because whoever does it first, whoever ascends beyond the biology, which I don't think is possible because of the human soul. We can get into the theology of that. We don't have to, but, you know, whoever does that first in their minds, that's the next space race now, is the transhumanism race, becomes the God. And when they become the God, you know, the rest of us, they want to become sheep. And that's why they're pushing the metaverse and stuff, so that we're plugged in like, you know, zombies all day long, and they're running the whole world and controlling us. That's their vision for the future. So I'm fighting against that future, by the way.
So where do you think we'll be in, you know, like 3 years?
Oh,
do you think I'd imagine be very similar to a certain degree, but I don't know, man. We've got 3 years. We've got that'll be just after the 2024 election.
Yeah, if you told me 5 years ago, I would probably believe you, and that's why I started Cab. If you told me 5 years ago that, you know, a sitting president would be banned from Twitter, I don't think a lot of people would believe you. I think they'd call you a crackpot, right? Like, yeah, there's no way. Get out of here. But, you know, here we are.
And they'll lie about the reasons too.
Right. You know, I was blessed with the vision to be able to see this stuff coming. I didn't anticipate how bad it would get, how fast. You know, look at the last 2 years with the coronavirus stuff, right? Would anybody in their right mind, if we go back 3 years ago, say, well, guess what? We're all going to be walking around in masks. They're going to force vaccinations on us, or you're going to lose your job. We would have been here and be like, are you serious? This is America. We don't do that stuff here, you know? And here we are.
December 2019. We were getting ready to set this show up. We were buying furniture. Everybody was laughing and drinking and high fives. The economy was booming. Gas was under $2.
That world is gone.
It's gone.
It's gone
Joe
forever.
Biden took a shit all over everything.
I think it was planned, though. I think they're using him as a pariah, like the military. I don't know what it is, but
they can throw all the problems they want to make. They can throw onto this old decrepit man who's too stupid to realize. And Joe is standing there with Obama. Obama goes, "You don't got to do this, Joe," because he's their sacrificial lamb.
It's not even their problems; it's their agenda. They're using him to push through the most unpopular agenda, the things that people don't want. They're going to rush through and implement all under the disguise of he's just old. He's not paying attention. No, they are paying attention. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're fooling a lot of people.
You know, one of the things that I think about, especially as a father, I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, and it breaks my heart that she is not going to know a world without these masks and without these vaccines and without the coronavirus. She's not going to know what life was like before that stuff all came, because, you know, 2.5 years, right? I think when she was 6 months old when this all started. So it breaks my heart when I see that. And I think about our children and how psychologically damaged all of this has made them. And what is the result of that 10, 20 years from now? What is that generation going to be like?
Autistic. Fediverse.
Potentially.
No, I don't mean it as a joke. I mean, literally, they're going to
afraid of faces.
They're going to be, exactly. They're not going to understand facial expressions.
Plug it into a machine instead. Because you could talk, you could video chat with people face to face.
Right.
They're not going to understand social cues, social norms. There will be none of that, and they'll be very robotic.
That's my worst case thought of what, well, the worst case is they all go psychotic and eat each other, but that's like a bad case scenario. They might come out of it and be like, hey, we went through it. We know how horrible it was, and we're never going to put humanity through that again unnecessarily.
You know, I saw a crazy video of, a deer that had a brain worm and it looked like a zombie and it was running in circles. It was on Reddit, it went viral. And people were talking about something called chronic wasting disease or whatever, which was like, it's a prion disease where deers become like zombies. Mm-hmm. And if they like, they could transmit the prion disease to someone else and make the other deer zombies. Totally unrelated, but you know, you're mentioning.
Is it though? is it totally unrelated?
That's what I thought about it. You're talking about people becoming zombified and then infecting other people. So we made the joke the other day that like, we should do a sketch about a zombie apocalypse, and the zombies are walking around, and they're just like basically NPCs, and then you can get turned into a zombie not by being bitten, but by them, you know, like Rachel Maddow yelling at you, and you're like, and then all of a sudden you turn into one, you're like, Russia, like, right? Oh no, they got him.
But that's what's going on. They, you know, they're especially, you know, the older generation, they get home from work or they, in many cases, they sit all day in front of the TV watching CNN. And that is all they know about the world. That's very
sad.
That's
my friend's dad. I went and visited him over the holidays and, like, I didn't talk to him a whole lot, but he was telling me that his dad just watches CNN. So he believes all of this crazy bullshit. And then I started talking and I was talking about like how Biden was, you know, pulling bullshit with Ukraine. And I was like, I can name every name. I've done all the research. Mykola Zlochevsky, Viktor Shokin, blah, blah, blah. And his, you know, my friend's dad was just like, oh, I didn't know any of that stuff. I haven't heard that. It's like, well, yeah, you watch CNN. Do you think they're informing you?
And my grandpa's like this, you know, one of my grandpas is, he watches, you know, CNN and, he's an old school, you know, working class blue collar Democrat. And he still thinks the Democrats represent the working class man, right? He's like an old school Dem, right? And when we actually sit down and we set aside the partisanship and we have a human conversation as human beings, what we find out is that we actually agree with each other on a lot of this stuff. And that goes back to what I was talking about on the show before. It's like they want us batting, you know, heads with our family members. They want me to hate my grandfather because he has a different political opinion than me on something, right? And that's not right. That's so what they want us.
I want to pull this video up. It's from Flowbots. It's called Handlebars. And I forgot why I started watching this. Someone sent it to me. And it's most of you listening probably heard the song "I Can Ride a Bike with No Handlebars." It's actually a really, really good song. It starts off as like this really friendly, like I can ride a bike with no handlebars, and I can rap and I can sing. And then the other guy is like, I can see how the world works and I can grow, and then I can rule a nation with a microphone. I bring this up because it's from 2008, and in the music video from 2009, it ends with one guy being a brutal dictator who's murdering civilians. And the bad guys all have the Black Lives Matter fist on their shields. This is interesting because it's not really the Black Lives Matter fist. It's the communist fist. Mm. There you can see it, the communist fist on their shields. It's even got the same, you know, line going through it as the guns fire
with
killing
the
MP5s civilians.
Shooting.
MP5s. Yep. So what's interesting is that Flowbots, this group, which are like particularly lefty, back then made a video saying communism is bad. Hmm. And that symbol is a symbol of communism.
And fascism, right? Mussolini, didn't Mussolini use it?
No, they used the fascists. The fascists, I think.
Oh, yeah,
it was.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's the Roman salute or the red salute. This is the red salute. The left in the United States back then, criticizing the government, showed the government as communists being bad. Today, they fly this symbol, marching down the street. Someone posted on Reddit, this song was so prophetic, even though the symbol's on the wrong side and the color's wrong. And it's like, bro, that is the machine, the government, the corporations doing exactly what it was predicted they would do. But you got to be a special kind of insane to be, you know, 14 years later not realizing that what they showed you is coming to pass.
Do you think that the people that were running, I wonder if Stalin was running the Soviet Union or if there were corporations doing it. Then they got to a point where they were like, we're sustainable down. We don't need the Soviet Union anymore. Break it up.
They were the corporation, right? An organization is an organization. I don't care if you call yourself the state or you call yourself a business. With the Soviet Union, it was an organization. It was the party. There was the president, there was his cabinet, whatever. Big corporations just have different barriers, if any. Similar structures, authoritarian, can do what they want. And depending on how big they are, they have paramilitary groups that, you know, carry out their bidding. For the most part, they're not like, they don't have militaries though, but they will contract out to big security firms.
Yeah, they have killers. They don't have militaries. They have killers.
Some of them do. I mean, some of them have big security branches and stuff like that.
There were a bunch of oligarchs involved with the takedown of the Soviet Union. The story is very convoluted. It's very interesting. I've watched a little bit about it, but it was a lot of behind the scenes.
Amazing. After the fall of the Soviet Union, the oligarchs, they would like walk into buildings and they'd be like, it's my building now.
Yeah. Were they corporate ownership? They were oligarchs. So they were like businessmen.
So this is what I was told by my Ukrainian friend. After the fall of the Soviet Union, this one guy who was like, it was big in the news. She was like, oh, so here's how this guy got power. After the Soviet Union collapsed, he walked into factories with a couple of his friends with guns, and they told all the guys working, keep working, we'll get your supplies, we're in charge, and we own this building now. And the workers went, okay.
This is crazy. I was actually thinking about this on the drive here. I was looking at all the farmland, and I was thinking about how everybody's freaking out because Bill Gates is buying up all the farmland. I was like, you know what? If you had, you know, a band full of guys with some guns, when the regime collapses, guess what? This farm is now ours.
Yeah.
You think, well, because a piece of paper says Bill Gates owns this, do you think he's going to defend all those
that's
farms?
That's what they call de jure ownership and de facto ownership.
Right, right.
De jure is by law. De facto is who's really running it.
Correct.
Yep. And I've thought about this exact same thing. You know, so I've often said, I don't want to have U.S. dollars. So I'll buy crypto, I'll invest in stuff. And the last thing I want is to be invested in the United States, to be completely honest, because I'm not confident in what's going on. Not that I think we're losing. I just think the U.S. dollar is in trouble. And so I'm thinking of property, and I've got property in some places, and I'm just like, yo, if shit really hit the fan, I don't own that house. It doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what the bank says or what the state says or what I say. The dude who's got the gun and lives there is going to be like, I don't know who the fuck you are. I don't care. It's my house. What am I going to do? Get a bunch of armed guys to go take it back? I guess, but then you could do that with any house, couldn't you?
Right.
The only thing you have on your side is the moral clarity. Well, it is my house, and therefore I decree. I guess. Ownership is a tricky thing when shit hits the fan, man.
Yeah.
People are going to be hungry.
I mean, that's been since the kings of like the Middle Ages. They'd be like, I want that land. Okay, go fabricate a claim on it for me. And then he goes and his chancellor like pulls a bunch of strings, and now all of a sudden there's some loophole that he's like, yeah, my great-great-grandfather was a duke in that city, so now I have the right to it. So he has de jure claim on it. Now he has a legal authority to it. Then he fucking takes it. And if no one can take it back, then he has de facto control of it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's been historical precedent forever, using the law to get you in. And I don't know, man. That's what civilization is supposedly protecting your legal authority to a piece of property.
But that's what happened in the Soviet Union. And so all of a sudden, this guy's a billionaire now. He's a billionaire because him and his friends took guns, went in and said, we're going to make sure you get the things you need to make the factory keep running. We're in charge. We're your boss. The workers didn't give a shit. They were like, we don't care. We don't care who the boss is. Just tell us what to do. This is what we do. We want food. They say, we'll get you food. We'll get you supplies. They went to all the different factories, took them over, and then there it was. Handed out guns to some of the guys and says, you answer to me. And they said, you got a boss.
Same with the fall of Rome. The barbarians came in from the north, and eventually one barbarian king took control of Rome, and now it's like a barbarian country. But no one gave a fuck. They just kept living their lives. The farmers didn't know. But the entire top-level administration was eradicated and changed. Now it's a bunch of barbarians. Well, you know, that's what the Romans called them.
And I think we're going to
– You see a –
It's possible.
Authoritative collapse and restructure.
Well, look. California announced they want to double their taxes, right? So they can implement universal health care. People are going to flee. Rich people are going to flee. And there's a lot of rich people in Southern California and Silicon Valley. All the billionaires of Silicon Valley are going to get the fuck out of that place.
They're already leaving. They're going to Miami. Yeah.
Texas,
Miami, Austin, Miami. Yeah. It's going to be – this is the balkanization stuff, right? I mean, we're seeing a mass migration happen within our own country, to the states that offer the most freedom. And that is not going to change. People want to be free, and they're going to go to places where they have the most freedom. And we're seeing that happen in real time right now.
You know what it means for me to be free? It means that I can go outside. Don't have to wear a mask. I can walk around in a circle. I can look at the chickens. I can plant some food. I can mind my own fucking business.
And no sniper's going to hit you from next store.
A cop's not going to pull up and be like, where's your mask?
No, you're not going to freeze to death. You're not in Antarctica. Like, you're free to go walk around in Antarctica, but you're not going to live for very long. So, like,
we've got freedom
freedom in the United States where the law says if you obey us to this level, then you can do whatever you want level.
You're a city dweller.
Oh, okay. You mean like out wilderness
here?
Freedom?
Yo, out here?
I don't know. They got drones, man. Now they do. Now they got drones.
No, look.
Satellite.
Out where we are right now, mandates are meaningless. When they do outdoor mask mandates, there was an outdoor mask mandate in Maryland. There was a total mask mandate. When we moved here, No one here abides by it because it takes human beings to enforce laws. That's why it's stupid when Joe Biden's like, if you want to go up against us, you need nukes. Nuclear weapon's not going to occupy a street corner, you fucking idiot.
And it's not going to change a law or change anybody's minds. That's up to the humans.
But look, soldiers, police officers can stand on a street corner and they can go to your house and they can fuck you over. But when you move out to less densely populated areas, there's no one here. Pros and cons. The cons, crazy crackpots might show up. The pros, I got a bunch of fucking guns.
Rural life for the win. And you know, what we saw during the pandemic is like in Pennsylvania. You know, I'm in rural PA. We saw homes exploding in value because people were leaving the city and moving to rural areas. Because guess what? Now we're working remote. Well, am I going to live in smelly New York City with all these restrictions where I can't even walk into a coffee shop without a mask? Or am I going to live out in beautiful nature and work from home in my basement, which is what I do?
You know what it is? Do you know the story about how dogs got domesticated? So this may be
mushrooms.
Untrue.
That's my theory.
But the modern theory, which may have changed, is that human tribes would leave refuse behind, and wolves would then scavenge the refuse after the human tribe would move. Over a very long period of time, some wolves were less scared of the humans. And so when the humans would walk past, some wolves would run, but some would stay. The wolves that would stay were described as having a lower flight time. That's what they call it. The flight time is the distance a human can get to an animal before it leaves. Mm. That pressure meant that the wolves more likely to tolerate the human and, were more likely to eat, more likely to survive, more likely to have puppies.
Right.
The humans who started tolerating the wolves also were more likely to survive because wolf urine was keeping predators away.
Mm.
No animal attacks, no animals accidentally stumbling into a camp. Over time, this created a pressure where the wolves were walking around the camp and the humans were totally fine with it because the humans that had wolves around were more likely to survive and have babies. So there was a natural selection pressure for both to, you know, dogs are man's best friend. However, the humans wouldn't tolerate aggressive wolves. So they were chased off and they wouldn't survive, ultimately creating what was the proto dog.
Domesticated dog. Yeah.
The first domesticated wolves that were more dog-like. But ultimately what happened was the domestication process meant that wolves became permanent puppies. Wolves as puppies are playful like dogs. When they grow up, they become aggressive and dominant. And they're masculine, they're powerful, like, argh. Dogs remain children who love you always, like the puppies were. The domestication process took away adulthood from dogs. What we're seeing now in cities.
Of humans.
Wow. It's the same thing happening to humans.
Yeah.
They can't get jobs, they don't know how to eat.
They're infantile.
Harry Potter, Voldemort, yep. Yay! Yep. Soy mouth, soy boys, right. Low T, they are permanent children.
Permanent, yep.
So we are wolves.
Wow.
They are proto-dogs or dogs. And I don't mean that to insult them as dogs. I'm saying they're at the point where they're acting like permanent children. We who assume risks are more like the wolves.
Right.
If this continues in 100 years, everyone's going to be a soy mouth, soy boy, low T.
You saw what happened historically. The dogs are the ones that survived. The wolves are almost driven to extinction. So yep. We got to keep that in mind.
So I have a sci-fi movie idea that based off of that principle. Where it's an alien invasion happens on Earth and the aliens come peacefully bearing gifts, but aliens have rules. And the aliens who give the gifts of technology and long life don't want to be around humans who don't abide by their rules. So then it's 100 years later, the humans that all live with the aliens desperately love them. They wear these ridiculous unitard suits and they're about 5 feet tall. They have jet packs and like advanced weaponry and things like that. But they desperately feel love for those aliens because of the selection pressure. And then there are roving bands of normal humans, like today, that use rudimentary weapons. And so, like, my idea for the short film is a band of humans, like 3 or 4, you know, guy and some women or a couple guys, they go to raid a chicken coop because they're hungry and they need food. And then a 5 foot tall little, you know, domesticated human runs out to defend the property for the aliens and launches in the air with advanced alien technology and is shooting stuff at them. And then the regular humans who resisted this are shooting with bullets.
I think that's a good premise for an entire culture of movies. That's a great idea.
A universe.
To have, people that are in with the aliens and people that aren't.
And they're pathetic. And they're like, I just love them so much.
When it comes to dogs, this crossed my mind a couple nights ago. I think that humans, I like the stoned ape theory where humans were like monkeys that came to, or apes that came together. They started eating psilocybin and inbreeding until they became, or hominids, or LSD, like ergot or whatever. I think that dogs, they fed those to the dogs too. The dog, they're like, well, no, that's meat and grain. They fed him meat and grain. I'm like, yeah, Ian, humans are crazy. Yeah, it just came into my mind. I was like,
see, I'm actually talking about
that's why
reading.
They're like with you and they have personality.
No, it's because wolves are pack animals, and the reason why they humans and wolves work in that capacity is because of social functions that independently emerged in between both groups. So, for instance, wolves, you can see the white of their eyes. Dogs, you can see the white of their eyes. Because when you're hunting in a pack, you can see where someone's looking. Dogs are the only animals that understand what pointing means.
Dogs are also the only animals that first look at the left side of the human face, and they're one of only three species: rhesus monkeys, humans, and dogs look at the left side of the face first when they look at someone.
You know, it's funny.
That's where the strongest emotion shows.
Whoa. I know a lot of people who listen to the show don't like this point, but we've done so much to try and piece together things, to look at the universe and then try and do the math to understand it. And everything I'm saying is based off of the readings, based on analyses. And then we get to this point where everyone starts believing in simulation theory, which is pushing everyone back towards the idea of just pure creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That there was no evolution. There was no – it was literally just we believe – have any of you guys heard of the show Big O?
No. Uh-uh.
It's an anime. And I could be getting this wrong, but my understanding is that they all live in a computer simulation that was created, and all of their memories of everything before it, everything they believe is their history, is just manufactured as part of the simulation.
Is this in Paradigm City?
I've never actually seen the show. Yeah.
Fictional city state called the Big Paradigm City. That might be.
I could be wrong. It's like giant robots fighting.
In math, there's a thing called the Big O notation. Are you familiar with that?
No.
I don't know. I just looked it up and saw it for the first
time.
Probably
has nothing to do with it.
Mathematical notation that describes the limiting behavior of a function when the argument tends towards a particular value or infinity. So if you're obsessed with an idea, there's a limiting effect to that obsession. Maybe that's kind of what it's saying.
You know, man, I wish we had all the answers, but I certainly don't.
I think they're
there. I don't
think
you do either, because you made up the dog mushroom thing.
Yeah, for sure. I think the answers are there. You only need to put your body in a form where it's able to understand it. That's what Tesla used to say, that he'd receive the information.
Look, guys, I'm going to say something that I'm going to announce to the audience. You know, I've had this profound realization that there's only one truth.
Oh, yeah?
There's only one light. There's only one source of salvation, and it is Dr.
Jesus
Anthony
Christ.
Fauci. That was good, though.
Was that an explanation? I was waiting. I was patiently waiting.
Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yeah.
Look at that bobblehead.
He has his own bobblehead on his own desk.
He's our only path.
I want to see what that glasses
kidding.
On
Screw that guy. All right, man. Andrew, thanks for hanging out. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah. And for everyone who's a member, thanks for supporting all of our work, and we'll see y'all next time.